excellence in both students and teachers. I think of an atmosphere that excites people to go far beyond what might be officially required for certification or for any official recognition that they may be seeking. I think of people who are pursuing ideas and actions that change them and those around them. And I think of people that see what they're doing in the formal structure of this school of education as being congruent with their personal values about who they are and what they want themselves and their society to become. Sounds pretty lofty. Sometimes I'm embarrassed to talk about what I believe education is, because almost anything that I could present in light of those kinds of statements might seem mundane. And my report does suggest some very concrete statements, are some very concrete statements about what they and what we can do. I don't want to go through all those things that I'm suggesting, but I want to say that I think we have to address, before I speak about these statements, the tendency to deal with the question of quality in a superficial way. I don't believe that we can improve what we're doing by more rules and regulations, or regulations that appear to demand more from students, or to assure that, quote, they're not getting away with anything. While such punitive procedures may give the appearance of having standards and quality control, we are deluding ourselves to think that such will affect the quality in a broad sense. Similarly, other short-term measures like new recruitment procedures, I don't believe are the answer to, either. I am of the belief that these kinds of measures have the opposite effect and are demoralizing and hide more of the basic issues concerning what kind of an education calls forth excellence. Some of the suggestions, I just want to briefly touch some of the areas. When I first came onto the job and I had to seriously look at all the courses under the EDU listings, I began to be concerned because I didn't know what it all meant. And then I called up some people who I thought would know what it all meant, and they didn't seem to know what it all meant. Somehow, I think that we have to clarify those EDU listings, and again, this may appear mundane, but I think it touches on a basic issue. I think that we have to begin to highlight which courses are core courses in the sense of containing some basic understanding that all graduate students should have in regard to methods, in regard to theory in the School of Education. I don't want to go on and go into any detail. I think that ought to begin to develop some educational experiences that go across area and division lines. How about beginning doctoral seminars or graduate seminars? How about pre-dissertation seminars that bring students together with the great people who are in the faculty, so that people in different areas can be in contact with our senior professors to see, and our junior professors, to see what they're doing, how they define research, how they define problems, what their theoretical perspectives are. I think that we ought to begin developing those kinds of experiences, whether they're formal course or not. I don't want to deal with at this particular time. But I think that we ought to move in the direction of clarifying what those courses mean in the EDU, develop a listing of courses that have generic significance to graduate students, and think seriously about what else should be there, begin developing experiences for students that are intellectually challenging, stimulating, broaden them to see what some of the theoretical, methodological issues are in education, and that we ought to move on that quickly. The second thing area that I would like to see us work on is this EDD, PhD, recurrent theme. Every file virtually I've looked at brings up the EDD, PhD issue. And I think that it's been unresolved for too long, and it's seriously affecting the quality of our graduate programs. What's in a name? EDD, PhD. I think there's a lot in a name. that people have not conceptualized in a clear way what it is we are trying to do here. And that the name means a lot, EDD, PhD, if it's only symbolic of us sitting down and talking about what it is we're trying to produce. I do think that there are two different kinds of people who come here, and we always, when we talk, have to talk in dichotomies or talk in types in order to be clear, and I don't think there are these clear types. There's a lot of overlap. But there are people who come here for professional training, and there are people who come here to be academicians. I think that we've got to acknowledge that. But to not acknowledge that, I think, is to produce a student that falls somewhere in between. And if we're going to deal with quality, I think that we have to deal with producing the best of those two. And to take the measure of not dealing with the issue of what the differences are is to fall somewhere in between. And I think that that's where we are. I think we have to provide some more services to our students. Services in terms of clarifying what is expected, what a proposal looks like, to use examples from the doctoral area. What is good research? What is a good dissertation? I think that we have to provide services so that students can begin to think about these in a clear way. I propose that my office, in conjunction with faculty members, develop a series of position papers that lay out some thought about these kinds of issues to be approved and to be discussed by the faculty and then to be given to incoming students. This is just one example of a whole range of services that I think we ought to be providing. I think the Resource Center ought to have exemplary proposals, exemplary dissertations available. I think as long as there is ambiguity in students' minds about what is expected, they'll spend their time floating in the anxiety of that rather than getting on with the real business of what education is supposed to be. And I propose that we do things to clear up this kind of thing. I've taken well over my 5 minutes, and I do have a number of other things. I have some things about different kinds of programs that we ought to develop. I have some ideas about red tape and bureaucracy and 10-page forms that people have to fill out to register or to file their program in the School of Education. It only takes one page to file it in other graduate schools. I have something here about, and in the paper, about how for some people what meaningful and quality education means is being involved with the issues of our times, with racism, with sexism, with professionalization, with the integration of handicapped children, that I believe that our graduate program must provide opportunities for people to be involved in these issues in meaningful ways, and I have a number of proposals in regard to what we might do in that regard, one being to develop an annual lecture series with a theme, and perhaps developing a series of courses around the theme so that people can begin joining together, exploring issues from different perspectives and from different areas, points of views. I have some mundane things, more mundane perhaps than some of the ones I've mentioned already. Semester abroad, new careers in education. The last thing I suggest is that we begin collecting data, not only data on how many people are doing this, on how many people are doing that, but I propose that we develop mechanisms and techniques that constantly give us a picture of what we are from the point of view of not of what we imagine ourselves to be, but what our students and others think we are. I want to end by saying that I know that universities and the authority structure is decentralized. Change cannot be forced. I'm not about up here trying to force you to do anything. What I say may seem presumptuous, but it's really presented in humility, knowing that if we have to move in any of the directions that I suggest in my paper, I suggest here, we can only proceed if we all proceed together. Most of the ideas presented will have to go through committees and to you as the faculty. And I know that you have had experiences and have formally and informally studied many of the issues presented here. And I present them after 2 weeks in my job, not in arrogance, but seeking your critical comments, your suggestions, so that I can modify what I've said if that need be, look at it in a different way. But whether it's the analysis I present in my paper or the analysis I present here to you today, I feel that this is an important time to act. And I meant this paper and my remarks in the paper that you can pick up in my office as a beginning of that plan for action. So. Yes. Okay, I could send it out to everyone.
It's got a little bit longer to go. I know some of you might have appointments. Feel free. Because I can't stop you, but feel free. Facilities. Thank you, Bob, very much. Our cultural treasures are, if not always created, they're housed and disseminated by the university, and we do deserve a nicer home. It's not everything, but what is? If we would seek a brimming cup, it should be a cup that we have some pride in. I'm pleased to report to you that Chancellor Eggers has included a new or completely renovated School of Education as a priority, hopefully to be achieved by 1980. Huntington Hall has 90,000 square feet. The costs in remodeling Huntington Hall are approximately $4.5 million, today's costs. But Chancellor Eggers and others believe that we may do better with smaller resources, a smaller facility, if we, with a new building. And we might be able to design a 40,000 square foot building for approximately the same cost as the renovation of Huntington Hall would be. The important thing is that I believe we're going to get, finally, a new facility designed especially for the work we do. I'd like to have Bill Sheldon come before you. In discussions with Chancellor Eggers, in discussions with representatives of the Central Administration's Capital Fund Drive, in discussions with Bill Sheldon, we have decided to embark upon, with the obvious leadership and support of the Central Administration, on a concerted effort by this college in the development of the new School of Education. And I've asked Bill to take on the leadership for that effort, which will be very, very considerable. And he's agreed to come before you and make a few remarks at this time. He'll come before you later with some more remarks.
I know that you don't need any more remarks. You don't need any scheduled information. So I'll just tell you very quickly that the Chancellor of the University, following a luncheon with him, confessed that he was amazed at the situation in which we were placed when we were moved to Huntington Hall. He said he didn't believe it. He said he didn't believe that we could operate in this particular environment, and I agreed with him. In fact, we spent the whole luncheon agreeing with that agreement. The chancellor, on the appointment of our new dean, asked me if I would take on the responsibility of spending the next 3 years searching for the kinds of funds that we need to build the School of Education. Now, the word build is sort of like some of your charts. It isn't quite the right word. There were two words. One was raise, and the other was gut. And the proposition was, which would you prefer to do, raise or gut? I'm a man of low sensibilities, as some of you know, and I don't care whether you raise the building or gut it. There was one more word I could have added, but I didn't think the Chancellor needed it at his advanced stage in the development. We're going to build a new place for the School of Education. We might replace the present building, which we'll talk about later. We might place that building on the campus, in the center of activities, perhaps in the place of Archibald Stadium, now that football has ended. Incidentally, I was hoping that football would be successful this year. As some of you know, I pursued this task some years ago and did secure some properties for the university, but it was based on our football team, not on our School of Education, which wasn't shining quite as brightly then as it is now. We're going to pursue this money in 76 and 77 on a sort of a tentative basis. We're just going to struggle along. That is, Bert will struggle along with me, etc. In 77 and 78 and in 78, 79, we hope to complete the task of raising the kinds of money we'll need. Bert mentioned a figure. I would estimate that he's a pessimist or perhaps a peculiar optimist. I would figure that the kind of building that we will need to house the School of Education will require some $10 million. I hope that your $5 million is correct, but I'm sure that you were putting up a building without doing anything with the inside. The faculty is going to be very much involved here, and as we develop our staff, myself, a secretary, and a couple of able-bodied graduate students who will hound you, what we're going to seek from you is help in what kind of space you need to operate. What do you really need? I was shocked by your number of classrooms available and to house those 20,000 courses in the university. What will you really need to operate a fundamental school of education? You're going to need to make some suggestions, and we will be pursuing the Ed Council members, the individual faculty members, and probably the graduate student organization, and the secretaries to find out exactly what is needed for intelligent operation. Secondly, we're going to need money from the School of Education members and help. We might not need contributions from the School of Education members immediately. I understood you were going to pay for a little of this out of your fund. But we're going to need help. For example, some of you are very wise in dealing with certain kinds of problems. I know some of you quite well. I know some of you almost too well. I know that some of you could go into some kinds of situations and sell the kind of educational program that we bring to Central New York, New York State, the United States, and the world. I know that you could do something that I could not do. We'll be calling on that kind of help. You'll be transported to the place and back where you do this work. And thirdly, there's some special contributions. Some of you have done some unique things with children and with adults, and those special contributions will need to be brought to the attention of the public. Perhaps the public that we're looking at will be few in number. Perhaps we'll be looking at 5 or 10 or 15 people, a half a dozen or more corporations. In 3 years, we'll look at everybody and all organizations we can. We'll even look at the United States government, see what help is there. I want to remind you that some years ago, there was an interesting drama that took place in Syracuse. You all remember that the drama ended in the death of the idea that was being dramatized. One morning, the Sunday paper brought out the fact that Syracuse University was going to become a part of the state of New York. Do you remember that, some of you? I see one old hand nodding. Yes, that's what happened. We never did become a part of the state of New York in the sense that the state of New York probably wanted us to become a part of the state of New York. But we're going to look at the state and the government, industry and individuals, and you for the help we need. That's all I have to say. I have nothing to give you in terms of reading material, but I will be pursuing it.
I'll only take another few minutes, I promise. I want to very briefly review the 4 or 5 points I made with the data. First, undergraduate and graduate applications and admissions and student credit hours are significantly down for our college. Number two, it doesn't appear that admission and enrollment drops are a result of any deliberate effort on the part of the college. Number three, sponsored research and training programs are decreasing. Number four, and you have some data in the packet of materials I've given you, the cost of instruction is relatively higher in our college than in other colleges. In fact, we are, I believe, number two to the College of Engineering. Two or three. Number five, we have a favorable tenure balance, that is favorable in terms of flexibility. It may not be as favorable in several years. I've shown you the naked data. And if not the immutable truth, at least my honest assessments. We should not ignore what the data say, whatever your interpretations of the data. We should not ignore each other as one might avoid seeing that which causes vexation. And it did cause me great pain to bring these data to you. We must work together. Only we can plan the future of this school. It should be a good future for all of the people here and all those to come. And I truly believe it will be a good future. I pledge that I'm going to work very hard with you to help understand better our problems and our strengths and our weaknesses. And I truly believe that we're going to do very well in the years ahead. Thank you very much for coming. If you have any questions, why don't you mill around so other people go home to their late. Thanks for coming.